So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado or any more horrible jokes, I'd like...
One out of two ain't bad.
I said any more, for Christ's sake, okay? I'd like to introduce the seventh, God knows why, annual fail panel of DEF CON with the amazing august personages that are on it and the amazing august personages willing to heckle them, okay? Yeah!
Thanks, everyone, for coming yet again to yet another fail panel. Yeah, as one of my lovely colleagues pointed out earlier, that means you all have sat through 12 straight hours of fail over the last few years. We're amazed you keep coming back, honestly. You failed to not come back, it's true. So I'm going to start off with, we actually had an epic panel fail ourselves, which was, those of you who've come in the past will know, for the last 4 or 5 years, or more, I've lost count, we have made waffles on stage. Yeah. And the fail turns out that, you know, it turns out that producing food without a license is against health code.
That's a fail.
Yeah, a fail.
Oops, oops, oops.
And it's true, but it's what passes for food in many restaurants. So it's close enough for the government. But it also turns out it violates DEF CON's contract with the hotel. And that's less good. That's a fail. Yeah. And the other thing. Thank you. You should feel free to donate money to the EFF just for playing that. We did talk to the hotel. And we got special permission this year to give out donuts in exchange for EFF donations. And so, because they don't produce donuts at the hotel, so they very, very generously allowed us to slide around a bit on the contract. So we have several, I lost count how many, what is it, 90-some donuts? From the delightful Krispy Kreme. Oh, those donuts. We do, however, have two very special waffles that Rich is going to talk about. Shut up now, Gillis. So I'm going to tell you a bit about the waffles, because these are some very special waffles we produce that do not violate any contracts, except for the social ones.
So Chris Hoff has been on this panel since the start. He's now crying on an airplane back home due to severe back injury, nerve pinching, whatever else. And when we found out we couldn't actually have waffles here this year with, well, we could, but I won't go into that. We asked Chris, he's got a bunch of MakerBots because he runs HackKid. So we're going to be auctioning off the last two ever fail waffles. You have the stealth fail waffle and the Vegas fail waffle. So, Jamie, can you stand up and show your back to the audience? We're gonna do this as a silent auction. So whoever's wants to donate, just put your donation amount, pound fail panel. We'll see where we end up in the next 2 hours. All the money's gonna go to a good cause, the EFF and some other tech-related charities. That's it, so fail.
Tag your tweets whether you want the Vegas waffle or the Uber waffle. The Uber waffle does get you free admission to the fail panel for life, though.
Note, for what it's worth, Rich and I will be on a fail panel at Sector in Toronto.
We will?
Think about that. Oh, well, we knew you were coming to Toronto, so...
Surprise!
All right, am I up?
You are up.
All right, so put money in this bag and then take a donut. Now.
Say it again.
Put now. Money in the bag. Take a donut. This is all for good causes. Go.
We can't handle separate instructions for you.
Don't forget the bag.
Don't forget a donut. I'm the hacker pyramid guy. Pyramid. Christ's sake.
If we get enough donations, Rob Graham will roll around in the money as I take a picture.
Oh, wow. That's
horrible. I'm not an analyst. That's an analyst's job.
Can I have some fries with that shake?
There are lessons to be had from Clark W. Griswold. In order to tell the story of Clark W. Griswold, I felt that I had to live the story of Clark W. Griswold and take the road less traveled. It is a long goddamn drive from Ontario, Canada to Las Vegas. If you run the math, you figure you're going to spend about $4,000 and it's going to take about 10 hours if you fly. Plus, someone's going to touch your junk and you have to take off your shoes. If you drive, I'm sorry, I had to do all the math in metric because I still cannot puzzle out what a hell a mile is. It's going to run about $317, but it takes 35 hours. I'm thinking that I'd rather have the $3,500 and change to spend on the trip. And I can sit in a car for a long time, can't I? In InfoSec, we tell you to leave your comfort zone all the time. Try saying yes when someone asks you if they can do something. It's crazy talk, I know. For the last couple years, I've been traveling a far higher percentage of time than I was promised when I agreed to work at the company. My ass is shaped like the seat of a 737. Love this thing. When you think about the family truckster, what's the first thing that comes to mind? That great quote, never underestimate the bandwidth of a station wagon full of backup tapes. We don't have family trucksters anymore, except we do. I'm a dad. I have a whole passel of kids. I drive a minivan. Fuck you, it's black. It can be configured as a two-seater. While configured as a two-seater, there provides an opportunity to make more kids. I've driven to conferences before. This is a nice short 4-hour drive to Cleveland for Nauticon, where the river's not on fire anymore. ShmooCon even. It's like 8 hours. We drove into and out of the ShmooPocalypse in a minivan. Yeah. Even DerbyCon's not that far. Surprisingly, it's only about 40 minutes further than ShmooCon. Done that twice. No big deal. Piece of cake, right? Here's the easy part. The first 7 hours of the drive really don't impact me that hard. Because I married a girl from Chicago. And I've done that trip about 150 times. Note, someone in the audience is calling me an idiot. Day one.
Just one.
Day one. It's going to be a heck of a drive. We have to get all the way to Joliet. I have to leave my house for 3 weeks. I've never been away from home for 3 contiguous weeks. I'm afraid. All my stuff is in there. We get to the first regulatory hurdle. Regulatory hurdles are fun. I totally love the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol.
And they love you.
Let me say it again one more time. I love U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. Lies. They're the best.
Lies.
You're starting to understand how this talk links you up to InfoSec, doesn't it? Yeah, they're the best at what? You got regulatory hurdles every time you turn around, right? Sometimes they're scary. You might wear an orange jumpsuit. Sometimes they just suck. You might lose your house. Sometimes you look stupid. I'm doing that right now. Regulatory hurdles, not so bad. Coolest part of this particular regulatory hurdle? You're leaving Canada and going to Detroit. I love Detroit.
Thank you.
The thing is, I still have to work. So occasionally I do a little bit of driving, but mostly I'm dependent on others. Yes, you can participate in a con call in the back of a minivan doing, we'll call it 70 miles an hour across the Midwest. Totally doable. Best part of this, you can have bad cell service. I love this particular water tower. It's like every now and then, something just smiles at you. It's a lot like that in InfoSec, isn't it? You sort of have to work in shitty, cramped conditions. Every now and then you get a smile. Yeah. We drove through the middle. The middle. For half an hour, I didn't have to touch the steering wheel. It was awesome. It's like I.
Now you know why he loves
customs. And other people answer them. It's awesome. We went from Ontario to Michigan to Indiana to Illinois. For which part? Yes. The answer is yes. It gets worse is slightly pejorative, but you're bang on. Day two. Now you're in the middle of your progression here, because it should only take 3 days, right? And yeah, I went through Iowa. I'll tell you a story about Iowa in a minute if you quit jumping ahead, for fuck's sakes. First part was the easy part, done it before a million times. Now we're going through, I don't really know how to describe sort of the western part of the Midwest. You know, I'm accustomed to sort of banjo country in the Mid-South. Now we're into a place where they spend way too much time with cows. Way too much time with cows. Again, we got to kill a big chunk of the country here. We're going from Joliet to Grand Island. It's doable. There's two seasons in this part of the country. Winter and construction. The trick is you need to survive the construction, especially the completely meaningless obstructions. Here's a closed lane. Went on for 2.5 miles. How much construction was happening in that 2.5 mile stretch?
None.
Nothing. This is, again, a perfect allegory for the goddamn life that you live when you're in the middle of trying to mature your InfoSec program. Meaningless obstruction for no good reason because someone has some spare barrel cones to put in your way. I love you, Jack Daniel. Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska. At the rest stops in Nebraska, they have metal teepees. I know, it is so racially sensitive. Apparently other things happen at rest stops in Nebraska too. Speaking from experience, are we? Probably. Day three. We need to get out of Nebraska, get into Utah, trying to figure out how many spare wives and or Alex Huttons I can pick up on the way, and hopefully survive. The road gets twisty as you go through Colorado, you know. When you're going through this part of the country, you've got to question all of your preconceptions. You have a lot of preconceptions. Everyone has preconceptions that they try and dump on you. What do you do about it? Well, when it's an Aztec in your rearview mirror and you're driving through the middle of America, you start to wonder how much of the meth you're going to have to buy. There's some level of expectation that you will be ingesting the meth. You don't have to if you don't want to. We got through Nebraska. We got through the mountains of Colorado. If you're going to... When I... Yes,
we.
I was in the car. I may or may not have been having trouble with oxygen deprivation as we crossed the Continental Divide. I may or may not have been conscious for that part of the drive. We're not talking about that, though.
Are there any family therapists or divorce lawyers?
Could be useful. We're supposed to take 3 days, and we ended up taking 3.5. We stayed in a hotel in the Fish Lake National Forest. To help you with definitions here, again, because sometimes definitions get used wrongly in InfoSec, there is no fish, there is no lake, there is no forest. You're in the Badlands of Utah. There are no plants. When the sign says there are no services for 120 miles on this road, they're not kidding.
One, remember, in the Midwest, we name places after places we've killed, removed, or bulldozed. And a request to the audio tech in the back, if you could bring up all the mics on the panel table, that'd be great, please.
Oh, you guys are allowed to be heard?
We are.
Oh, okay.
You're in trouble now.
Oh.
There is no right way. I've determined. Every time you turn around, there's someone telling you that the way you've chosen is the wrong way.
Isn't that funny. Marriage?
No!
Oh.
Too soon!
No.
No.
Quit trying to have me assassinated, you fuckers.
He gets himself in enough trouble.
There's no right way, especially if someone else's opinion is important. And let me tell you, this group... Opinionated bastards, the lot of them. This gets... Shut up! Are you working? Okay, quiet working. Goons are noisy. Get through Utah. You go through the tiniest little smidge of Arizona, where everything clenches up. And finally, you get to Nevada. And you start the long descent into Las Vegas. This is both figurative and literal. I've determined that the only way to succeed is to try, even if it means coming back to Vegas every year, eating shitty hotel food, committing myself to too many projects, hanging out with some of my best friends, and hoping to God it all gets better at the end. And that's it, folks.
Yay.
Just wait.
Wow.
Don't encourage him, please.
Dave.
Yes. We do need musical accompaniment.
So
I
think you guys have the wrong impression. The cameras for videotaping this are actually behind us, invisible. It's you guys who are on the panel that we're taking a photograph of.
Told you this was only going to get better.
Fuck you.
You take one naked photo.
All right. So, Teledil Ono, yes, you did it. Yes, sir.
We're up to a $100 bid for the Uber waffle. 25, 35?
40.
40. Uber, 100. Other thing falling on the floor, 40.
Going for a run.
10% discount. All right. So after that brief interlude, all right. So a little bit about me. Probably have heard quite a bit. Just wait. So I'm a penetration tester and hardware hacker with this great little group called In Guardians. SANS instructor, member of Paul Security Weekly crew, and a ham radio operator. And I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to make it up here, but I had a huge thank you to Mr. Cutaway, who was my partner. Yes.
Yo, yes.
As you can see from the screenshot from the application we're going to discuss shortly, we have a friend request from my partner, Cutaway. And he helped me do a whole lot of bunch of stuff. It was kind of awkward explaining to my wife that I had a partner, and it was a guy with a really big beard. So Don, again, thank you for spending time with me working on this. We spent many
a guy with a really big beard who plays the banjo.
Wow. Yes. And a hat. So we spent many an evening in a hotel room. Doing packet capture analysis and data recovery. Yeah, that's what we're calling it now. And maybe a little penetration. All right.
So and some burping.
Some burping and yeah. All right. So what is this
injection?
This whole teledildonics thing? That was a term coined by a gentleman by name of Ted Nelson in 1975. Now here's a guy that was really ahead of his time. And he's incredibly sexy. He's the first guy I want to think about when I think about teledildonics. But, so what is this stuff? Simply put, is an electronic sex toy that can be controlled by a computer to reach orgasm. Wait, I think I've seen this porno before. The woman in the front of the chalkboard, the sexy librarian glasses. Yeah, okay. All right, so where did the inspiration come from for this? Episode 300. We travel a lot for our jobs. Give me a break. All right. So, episode 363 of Paul's Security Weekly, we interviewed the Sweet Cat talking about 3D printing, and her application is largely around printing sex toys. Of course, we wanted to bring it back to the whole security thing. And of course, this whole thing about teledildonics comes up. And she mentioned to us on the podcast a new product called the Vibes. Yes, it's exactly as great as you as it sounds.
It's the victim.
Okay, so this is our victim for this hack. They have a new product to market. They have both an Android and an iDevice model. Currently, they were initially at $79. So they are now at $99. And after the introductory price, they'll be at $119 a piece. I know. Just wait. But wait, there's more. It's not all that it will do. Okay. All right. So it's a pretty neat concept. It is a personal massager that connects to your mobile device over Bluetooth. Don's massaging his forehead right now. So a Bluetooth star, and there's a couple of different devices, one that is specifically for Android and one that is specifically for iOS for an iPhone or an iPad, and integrates with an app that you install for both chat, picture transfer, and remote control. Okay. So there were some delays in development for the iDevice. They were developed independently, which was kind of odd. Part of the reason because of this was that the newer iDevices support Bluetooth Low Energy. So they had a different chipset and a different hardware design for the Bluetooth Low Energy version. The Bluetooth Low Energy version has yet to be released because the chipset from the manufacturer, they swapped in the middle of production and didn't tell them that there was something, there was a slight difference. And the battery life was only good for 2 hours, whether it was in use or not. So they had to go back to the drawing board and restart the entire design process. It was supposed to have been released July 30th. I'm still waiting on mine. Yes, I bought two. I bought the Android and the iDevice version. So, yes, hardware is hard. All right. So what did we find with some of our early stuff? Yes.
I do know
go Google image search teledildonics. On the third page, there's a picture of Kevin Mitnick going like this. I won't talk about what was on the first two, but okay. So
you do know how to whistle, don't you?
Yeah. So we started looking at the Android Android traffic because that's what we've got. They were shipped to us. All of the traffic was appropriately encrypted to the various services. However, the app is still available for the iDevice. So we started looking at the Android Bluetooth stuff. Okay, don't do it. Okay. The Android device was standard Bluetooth, so a bunch of fail for us. The iDevice is allegedly Bluetooth low energy, which is all sorts of fail. We suspect that it's using just works pairing, which if you've seen any of Mike Ryan's talks on Bluetooth Smart, you'll know that that will be full of fail. Hey, it's supposed to have been released already, but not. However, you can still chat from an iDevice to an Android device and just capture the traffic from the iDevice. And we're actually going to be doing a little bit of that.
Oh, way more than chatting.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Uh-oh.
So he has normally, again, on a very special episode of Shot the Noob, normally we shot new speakers. But today, we are going to celebrate very, very old speakers.
Mercurial.
What? The fail panel.
Stand up!
Yeah, stand up already. The fail panel. All right. How many people have never seen the fail panel before? Yeah, about 20% of you. This fucking thing's been going on since dinosaurs roamed the earth. And this is supposed to be, or potentially, you know, they always say this, supposed to be the last year.
There you go.
I had to ask Rich because I thought, is half the panel going to say, what the fuck?
It's always the last year, isn't it?
Nobody told me. So
it's always the last year.
So if you gentlemen would like to create... somebody wants to do delivery here. There's so many.
Is that all you got?
You know what? Do we have to do everything around here?
If we could bring some of that over here, because frankly, I don't think I have enough. All right.
We got Belvini double or the Caribbean.
Oh, you
cast.
Got Belvini. And I got the good stuff.
No, it's always good when the goon in charge says, ooh.
Here, take these and start pouring shots.
Here, flat pause. I don't think that's going to help you.
You should know, Paul, that since you're changing the rules, you have to participate.
No.
I don't think he's going to mind.
Wait, stop. What are you doing? I'm not... That was just...
Get some. Get some.
She likes
to stop right now.
That's...
Thank you.
Good. Oh, shit. Sorry. So, when the fail panel gets their shots... Oh, and by the way, if anybody has a shot out there...
How many more do
you know.
Two more? Don't shoot this.
Here.
Sip it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is sipping?
I need one.
Anybody shooting the Belvini will be shot.
One for him.
Thank you.
One for you.
One for you.
These people are crazy.
We're with you up here on stage. Of course we're crazy.
And by the way, for those of you that haven't seen the fail panel before, this is pretty much it.
Doesn't get any better.
Yeah, if you're waiting for the good stuff.
We have to stand up.
All right.
Salute.
To the fair panel!
To failure, gentlemen.
May the gods go with you, because nobody else will.
It's really good.
If I'd realized that it was this good, I would have told them years ago it was my first... Actually, I told them every year it was my first time speaking.
Is that it?
No.
I barely remember this one.
Oh my god.
They're still going to be doing their damn shots like 20 minutes.
All right.
Okay, back to
Thank you, Paul.
Teledildonics.
Now we're back to Teledildonics, right? Okay. All right. So the Android and the iDevices applications were significantly different. The Android traffic was well encrypted. However, the iDevice traffic was not, even though we didn't have the vibrator attached to it. So we started doing protocol analysis and started looking at all the traffic coming from the iDevice when engaged in a chat session with an Android device. And turns out it's all Jabber, XMPP traffic. And it was developed, the Jabber client within the app was developed by a third party and in use by folks such as the BBC and others. It also uses HTTP for image upload, reference, and download. So we decided to sniff a little traffic. See, we really were sniffing traffic in our hotel room, okay? We used an open access point, Burp, Wireshark, and all sorts of good stuff. So Android to Jabber traffic was encrypted for authorization for all the login and chat contents. However, the iDevice to the Jabber server was not. We were able to capture all the authentication, the chat content, URLs for images, so forth and so on. Yeah. All right. So the focus was on our iDevice to Jabber chat. And we had a couple of things that we wanted to attempt. We wanted to be able to chat from a Jabber desktop client, none of this little handheld device. We wanted to be able to upload and enumerate pictures. Hey, you're going off. And see if we can enumerate and send messages, and ultimately see if we can make it vibe with something that's outside of their application. All right, so it's all Jabber, right? Great. We took a known username and password for the Vibe service and plugged it into a desktop client, and it didn't work. It failed. Couldn't log in. So I captured a session. So Don and I captured a session via an open access point. And found that the Jabber user and a password were concatenated together in Base64 encoded. Okay? That's note the password. Okay, so
I'd really hope that they had required them to have a longer password than that.
Yeah, but it's not longer than that, so, I mean, that's, it's to scale.
Because size doesn't matter.
Okay. Iraq. Oh, yes. Iraq. Okay. In passwords, it does.
So by using a password in a desktop Jabber client, great, we have Base64 encoded username and password in plain text. With the Vibe's app, however, it takes the password and does some other unknown encoding. However, if you take that other unknown encoded value out of the Base64 encoded string and plug it into your desktop client, it works just fine. Okay, so you plug that encoded string into your desktop Jabber client, and you're now able to authenticate to the Jabber, Vibe's Jabber servers without a problem. So we have a now client. Okay, so now let's see if we can add multiple partners to our legitimate client. However, Vibe's only allows you to have one partner at a time.
Not available in Utah.
So it's time to go back to Jill, apparently. Okay? But what we found is that when you want to add another client, so we were testing with multiple users, with multiple partners, we were very promiscuous. When we added another test account, the partner that was dropped received an email that said, "Hi, this is Vibe's. Your vagina is no longer a partner with you. Yes, I own the Vibe's client name of your vagina." Okay. But what we observed during each one of the sessions, every time a chat was enabled, was that an HTTP request was given from the client on the device to an HTTP server to get the user's profile. Okay. Within that user's profile lists the partner. Okay. So if I am Don's partner, if I'm Cutaway's partner, it will list that he is my partner and that I am his partner. But now if I get dropped, maybe we can start figuring out whose partners are which. Okay. Great. It requires an authorized session key we can capture that session key with something like burp and then replay it and change the partner name every time. It's not, that session key is not mutually exclusive to the user you're attempting to look up, nor is it unique per request. So burp repeater for the win. Why is someone calling me?
Just say no.
Just say no. Okay. So who cares, right? So every time we drop a partner and we get a new partner, the person that we dropped gets a notification. Okay, so maybe they're two timing, right?
Why don't you just use a burner laptop?
Why don't I just use a burner laptop?
Yeah, because then you can have two different accounts.
So you
do have bifurcation, don't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
So technically,
you have to love it when somebody asks a speaker a question. You can tell they never thought about it before. Why don't I use a burner app? Indeed.
Nice.
We don't just do this with ourselves, okay?
Yeah.
Different bifurcation.
Hi, Jill. So you get the message that your vagina is no longer your partner, and that, what does that mean? That likely your vagina has another partner. So we capture the auth for one of our sessions requesting the profile, replay it, and ask for the profile for your vagina. And it will list your vagina's new partner. Hooray!
Hooray!
So up on the top left, we have a stock request as captured from burp, and the username request for getting the profile is your vagina. It responds with a partner nickname of Hacksha the Matrix. Great. Hacksha the Matrix drops your vagina like a bad habit, okay, and picks up a new partner, DEFCON 22. So what does your vagina do? Request my Hacksha the Matrix profile with a previous captured and session key, maybe for their new partner, and sure enough, Hacksha the Matrix has a new partner, partner nickname of DEFCON 22. So we can do partner enumeration.
Bitch.
So this has all sorts of interesting social consequences. There's also the possibility that we could go through and enumerate all possible usernames. Great, just start asking for every username, or maybe go and make some educated guesses about some usernames that we should guess, such as some maybe listed on this slide.
So close.
Okay.
Don't do this at home.
Don't do this, or do this at home. Okay. It also does pictures. Ratchet girls for the win. Okay. All right. So the Jabber session also does picture sharing. It's an HTTP call for, hey, is this file name been used? If it is not, it uploads it via HTTP and also downloaded by the client with HTTP. The prep reserves a 20-character image name with some unknown obfuscation method using upper, alpha, lower, and numeral key space. So a couple of example image file names there as well. And it requires a session token for retrieve. But if you're in a valid chat session, you can generate a valid session token. And the valid session token is valid for every image that you request. It doesn't expire. It's not unique per image. Okay. We attempted to reverse engineer the Android app. We spent, 5 or 6 hours in a hotel room one night trying to reverse engineer the Android app to determine how it derived the names for the files. And it was a complete and utter failure. We went through every line of code that we possibly could.
Right, and because they're pulling in the third-party Jabber app, the libraries, they didn't decompile on our initial attempt. So all of the code for the Vibe's app decompiled, but not necessarily the rest for the Jabber app. So we found some of the obfuscation techniques that the Vibe's client was using, but not the Jabber client, which was associated with the file uploads.
So, we can do potential image enumeration by capturing a session token asking for everything in the potential entire key space with lower alpha numeric 20 characters long.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, because there are things on the internet that cannot be unseen. I speak from experience. I have probably shown you folks several of them in some of the previous fail panel talks, including pterodactyl porn, so we're not going to go there.
Not to mention wireless router porn.
I'm sorry?
Not to mention the wireless router porn.
Yes.
And diaper porn. Diaper router porn.
I'm not doing that this time. The wireless router this time, it's not big enough. Okay. You're doing it wrong. Wait. Shrinkage. All right.
That's what she said.
So we did prove the concept with a couple of images that we owned that we had the ability to download to prove that we could, in fact, grab those one of the session tokens. But quite frankly, we ran out of time and, didn't want to see any more that couldn't be unseen anymore. All right. So, yeah, great. It echoes, it vibrates, it feels good, right? So what was the last goal? Vibe all the things, right? So let's make this one go to 11. So we captured a session of control of the vibrator remotely between two applications. Turns out all of the control, when you capture it from the iDevice to a Jabber device that has an attached vibrator, all of the messages are in plain text. Oh, that feels good. Lower.
Captured the session is the new code word, by the way.
Yes.
We're going to go reverse engineer and capture the session in our hotel room later, honey.
Okay. So all the messages to trigger vibration on the remote device are all plain text, fairly standard formatted messages. With five different profiles and custom pulse settings so that you can increase or decrease. Oh, man. I got red carded.
Can I get one of those, please?
Keep them coming. Okay. So with no Vibes attached to an Android device, as Don found out with his phone, it vibrates the phone.
So by the way...
Is that your vibrator in your pocket or just your phone?
Right. So by the way, as many people know, I'm a Twitter troll. And... one of the things I do is I'll get into a conversation, troll some people, put my phone on vibrate, put it in my pocket, and then like go to a business meeting. And then like for the next hour, I'm getting like messages from other people pinging back and forth and back and forth, vibrating in my pocket.
Nice. So in order to take control...
That's a very sad life you lead.
You're saying this like it's a bad thing.
You know, really, it's the only action I get these days.
Nice.
You don't judge. Make this video.
Yes. I do.
Yes, apparently we do. Okay. That's okay. So in order to take remote control of the vibrator, it does require permission from the two partners. We have a request made to the person by the one that wants to control it to the, quote, victim. And what we found out is through the testing, we intercepted some of the messages, and I accidentally sent an accept before a request had occurred.
And now I'm in control.
And now Don was in control of my phone.
You found the back door.
And I exploited it.
Can we have some more creeper cards up here, please? All right. All right, so here's a sample chat request. Here, take this. All right. So we have a chat request from myself and Don Cutaway at chat.vibes.com. We send some vibes. We do an accept, some vibes, some more accept, some more vibes, and all sorts of good stuff, such as no joy, big boy, and too soft, and mix it up. So the last message is a whole bunch of 11s. Turns out if you send too many 11s to the Android app, what does it do? It crashes.
It can't handle it.
Can't handle the truth.
So what you're saying is this one does not go to 11.
What's that? This one
does not go to 11.
It does, but only for a short time.
That's deeply disappointing.
Yes, I know. So,
bitch.
A quick couple of commands list. We can do a vibe request to control. Request to control. We can do an accept as a response back. A reject, so if Don doesn't allow me to control his vibrator, it's fine. We can end a session by revoking control, and then we do some custom names, including a pause, which from what I found is optional. we set some interesting vibe commands, 00 are pauses, and we can do all sorts of fun stuff. Now the question
enough
is...
Enough foreplay. We want to see the demo.
Okay. Now we'd love to be able to spoof messages. All right. So I really wanted to revisit Dave's Mbop experience and vibe all the things. The problem is that the request for controlling the vibrator gets in the way, so no all vibe the things. So what we did first is figured we'd at least show you a video of this vibrating all over the place.
No, so what's actually, you can't hear the sound on this, but Atlas was sitting in the room with us, and we demonstrated, we pulled it out, and he was like, what the fuck? And then we made it vibrate, and he is cackling in the background. He cannot control himself.
Literally and figuratively. So if you remember, in many years past, I've always introduced you guys to some very interesting meme video. Because now we've got you all hot and bothered, right? So we figured we'd pull it a step back, right?
Wait.
We gotta take the calm down.
All of this is just to get to your meme video?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
So here's the meme video, and I'm gonna fast forward this through a little bit. But apparently this band is a real thing. The band is called Leslie and the Lies.
I was walking through the forest of moccasin bread. High kick, this is how we do it. Was the last.
So I have a special thing. We're going to donate to Hackers for Charity over at the booth for the silent auction. This woman is interesting, but she sells great shirts.
I'm not associated with this. I am not associated with this.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Y'all hadn't bothered now, right? Okay. This is going to be in your mind forever. Watch out for my body rolls.
I'm a dance floor tiger lady, pumping everything she has. Touching every single man, rubbing every lady back.
She apparently smokes lots of crack.
Don't you wear your jazz. One day have a flag that says she wore the tightest of pants. Watch out for my body rolls. Watch out for my body rolls. High kicks. This is how we do it. Watch out for my body rolls. Watch out for my body rolls. High kicks.
If we do this next year, you need to mash this up with Afro Circus is all I'm saying. Dude, if we do this next year, you have to mash this up with Afro Circus is all I'm saying.
Say that again?
You need to mash this up with Afro Circus if we do this next year.
All right, so let's do the quick demo.
Finally, all the foreplay is over and we get a demo.
However, we do need a volunteer.
Gillis!
And you have to pay for the privilege for the EFF.
I'm trying to connect.
He's trying to connect.
I'm trying to connect.
Oh.
I'm searching for it.
Make it work.
I'm searching for it.
Demo fail?
I'm searching for it.
You could not connect.
Well, while we're all waiting for Larry to get it up.
Oh, sweetie.
Oh.
There's still donuts.
He's connected.
I'm connected.
You can still bid for a waffle.
You're not online.
That would be good.
Oh. Bitch, get online, bitch. I've never had this happen, isn't it, Larry? Get online, bitch.
Come on, Larry.
She said.
Stretch it a little.
Stretch it a little.
Okay. Thanks.
Control me. I'm going to play with myself while he's waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any Billy Idol?
I like whales.
Boops.
So long.
Oh, I know. This answers
Stop
the question
that.
In the panel discussion.
You,
panel title,
to.
Though.
Come
yes, there are whales.
Me.
I want to.
All right. Oh, I've already asked to control your massager. Please ask again. Vibe request.
Hang on.
Come on.
Next.
Stop typing. Come on. Stop typing.
Larry, other people are going to have to use that mic. They're not going to be putting their mouth on it.
Where's my chunky monkey? All right, so... The request was granted, and...
How much do you want to donate to AFL?
You
turned it to 11, didn't you?
I did.
Come on.
He went for 12, 13, and 14.
Hey, Larry, as you get older, this occasionally happens.
It's
all right. There's pills you can take now.
I heard I can get them from Canada.
What?
That's where you go for your cheap meds and your hard... alcohol.
Oh, you're on a chat.
Look.
Come on.
This isn't called the wind panel.
It's broken, sweetie.
It's broken, honey. Do I have to call tech support? How awkward would that be?
I've...
He's been trying to turn it on all day.
You'll all note that as a married man, yes. I was in and out in less than 10 minutes, right?
All right, guys. Request.
Hit me. Hit me.
Come on, make it work. No.
Okay, we have some other entertainment right. while they're working on that.
Press Control-Alt-Delete.
Yeah. There's some very special fortune cookies that somebody brought in the audience.
Bitch, where are you, bitch?
Can't we just snuggle?
Can't we just snuggle?
I just wanted a hug.
All right. Well, with that, that was lots of fun.
Pull out the cookies. Don't get nervous. Don't bend over, standing where you are.
Seriously, keep it away
really,
from
do
them.
Do you really want to bend over up here? We have vibrators.
It's a teledictonic.
Well, read one.
Yeah, but you can't get it
up.
What are you doing?
You chatting? It'll make more sense. Hurt me. Don't mind if I do.
I'm not receiving you.
That's a sports thing.
Hold on.
I don't do sports things.
Ready? You know why?
Oh, man.
Hold on, I'm gonna send you another.
I have to end the session.
Oh, you just revoked it.
I have to end the session.
Okay.
And connect.
Oh, there we go. We're connected. Let's go. This guy has to come back next year. Ready? Request. Accept. Take it, bitch.
Give it to me.
Thank you.
Tasty security cookies.
Control V.
Okay, so.
Yeah!
Just a bit. Hey!
Let's make this bitch go to 11.
You know, that really sounds like a core dump to me.
Do you want to hold it? Do you want to hold it?
You shouldn't be putting in your core whites so you can take a dump.
Wow. All right, who's next? Tell who's the next
think.
Victim?
What do you think?
Just not impressed. But I say that a lot.
Actually, I gave it to my wife,
hold
and
on.
I set it on the lowest setting, and she said, what?
And
then,
what?
Yes, basically. And then I put it on high, and she's like, that's okay.
You've done better. All right, next victim.
Okay, so just a quick update. The Vegas top bid for the Vegas waffle is currently $60. The Uber waffle is currently $100. You all can do better than that, gang.
Oh. So. I'm also, all the rest of the speakers here and have this in the pocket while they're talking.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Okay. Well,
my rule here.
I can handle that. Yeah.
Okay.
So while Rob is
deep in my pocket here, so I think the rule for the rest of the fail panel is every speaker has to have that in their pocket during their talk.
Yeah! Okay. So while Rob is setting up. During the last session, I was finishing off this lovely Fat Tire ale from New Belgium, and the label says, ride, play, and share your way to a Fat Tire experience. Yes. That does not seem like the best advertising campaign ever. So I just thought, you know, we should ride, play, and share your way to a fail panel experience. Sounds a lot better, don't you think? I thought so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, crap.
Shooting star. Robert, how's your pocket there, buddy?
It's not vibrating yet, so...
What?
Get things John, working.
Hey, all electronics are down there are blocking the signal, so...
Unfortunately, I don't know, my laptop has to be rebooted.
Six-digit password?
At this juncture, I'm the only one who's done a talk without mistakes, errors, or stupidity. Apart from driving from Hamilton to Las Vegas.
Apart from watching somebody else drive.
I did drive for about a third. All right, so now Martin McKay's sticking up for my wife. think I'm going to be walking home. Does anybody have a spare red card? I could use a spare red card. Have you tried turning it off and back on again?
So one of the problems with security is that I have a 6-character password for the login for my user account, but I've got a 30-character password to actually decrypt the hard drive, which means sleep works well. In sleep mode, it's awesome. But when I need to reboot it, it's like, fuck, I can't remember that 30-character password.
Mr. Graham, do you have toys in your pocket?
I have wonderful toys in my pocket.
Can you give that to me, please? I'm not going to reach into your pocket this time. Next time.
Oh, baby.
Here, I'll trade you.
There you go.
No. Yeah. Plug it into work.
Did you say you need twerking on the stage?
I had to reboot.
No.
I don't know why I have to reboot. This other presentation required this.
When she says no, you should listen.
Stick it in there, baby.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's not distracting, is it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a white screen. Come on. What's great is when they pulsate this thing.
Ready? You can't handle the truth.
Yeah. So actually having this thing vibrate in your pocket actually really is distracting. So I did this really boss thing several years ago, last year, where I did this talk at Passwords Conference, where they have like experts in passwords. And what they did was, so I logged in with the screen showing during the login, and it was a 6-character password, which was really great. And then I abused, and then everyone laughed at me because, oh, I only have a 6-character password. But it was great because, you know, with all the networking turned off and with a separate account used for the hard drive decryption, it doesn't matter they have a 6-character password. And so it was great audience abuse. Then my presentation was misconceptions about passwords. And that was a misconception about passwords. I got to abuse the audience. Crap.
You got it halfway there. That's what she said.
But the consequence of having a separate account to decrypt the hard drive and the one to have your normal account is that this stuff is screwed up.
Fail.
So the moral of the story is, as with security, if you try to be too clever, you just screw yourself up.
And it's really great because, like, Rich can see here that I've got a password screen with an account called Unlock that I'm unlocking the hard drive with that you guys can't see because that's security. And then I log into a completely separate account.
Okay, looks like you might be there.
Almost there. Hooray! Hooray!
Oh!
Hooray!
Oh!
Can we do the wave? I tried to get the wave done at Black Hat, and no one would do it. And or the chicken dance.
All right.
So the... Okay. Okay. Crap.
License activation!
So I never use this account, so I don't... Fuck.
Would you like to share your experience with Microsoft?
Congratulations, you're ready.
So, oh my God, this is really hard.
Done!
Well, there's your problem right there.
We're so close. Why? So disappointed.
Why are you using PowerPoint?
Because I'm an idiot.
You made a monitor reboot. Are you the APT?
Minus, this isn't his presentation.
So yeah, we have a lot of good fail here. Yeah, I had to turn on.
System preferences.
Stop touching yourself.
Yeah, mirrors are placed turned on.
Maybe we should get somebody technical over there, he says. You guys are old enough to remember Windows NT, right?
Yes.
Worked better than this.
That's working. Just leave it like that.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Don't fuck it up. Don't even look at it.
Don't breathe.
Don't blink. Don't even blink.
I'm hoping that you get the presentation working.
The death rattle of the fail panel.
It's on a user ID. Plopping.
See, you done touched it, didn't you?
If I log out this, it's supposed to work. Well, now it won't work because you disconnected it.
Yeah.
How do I go to the root directory, the users?
Here's the funny part. We're actually gaining audience while this is happening.
Okay. So here's how it works. I'm the CEO of Verida Security, so therefore I'm going to have my tech support guy handle the problem for me. And unfortunately, I doubt that he can actually help me.
Man, Dave was the best you could do for tech support.
Up one directory? No, go up one directory, different user.
I've just been informed that we're an hour into the presentation, and nobody who started the presentation with pants has lost to them. Maynor is standing up.
There yet, though.
No, Rich isn't, but Maynor is, and usually they're brothers in pantslessness.
I need to unlock it.
So it's your vibrator?
Yeah.
Video
or is it on? Allegedly.
Does anybody else have their talk done?
Yeah, I have a low-tech talk.
You have a low-tech talk?
Yes, I do.
We could actually be entertaining the audience.
Who would like to help me do something that actually works?
I'll take a mic right here. Give her the vibrator.
Sometimes low tech is better, according to her.
All right, I need five volunteers from the studio audience. Come on up.
And a vibrator.
All right. Thank you. Everybody,
okay,
turn around.
I think
around.
We're just going to do someone else's presentation while I figure this fucking
thing out.
Turn
around and face the audience. No. Turn around and face. Now, all of you are going to be voting on this, so pay close attention. All right?
Best beard ever.
The first, the thing that I want you to do... Get ready. What? Get ready for this. What I need you to do is make a sound like a modem. Now, if anybody here does not know what one is, you may leave and be replaced by somebody who does.
Jack, sit down.
Now, just so that, you know, we know it can be done, I'm not in the contest, but I will start.
Do you have to name the modem?
No, you don't have to name the modem, although you can try to guess what it is.
I call it George.
Oh, and there is a prize involved. So do your best.
What's the bod?
What's the bod? You got to negotiate, baby.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
All right. What's the frequency, Kenneth? Yeah. All right. So I will go first just to show that it can be done. The sound like a modem. Dee, dee, yee, aw, yee, aw, dee.
That was a solid 300 baud connection.
As I remember it, my modem sounded like this. But I was on Verizon.
No. You can't cheat with the equipment. That's what I said.
Okay.
All right.
We have yet to get a V52 modem here. How about some 42 BIS? Anyone?
Go ahead. Go for it.
All right. Hey, Martin. Go back to Europe. ATH.
Was that a Hayes compatible?
All right, so this is from back in my day, my youth. Your free AOL trial has expired.
Ma, hang up the phone! Hang up! No, hang up the phone!
All right. Okay. So now we need a vote from the studio audience. Who thinks it? Is Rue the winner? All right.
That's what I get for following directions. I actually did what you said.
Well, that's the problem.
This is the fail panel. Fail panel.
Whip it out.
Yes, folks, he's the proud new recipient of a not quite new inbox.
Is that an RS-232 in your pocket?
USR or? Courier modem.
All right, so.
Larry can help you with that. Wait.
So there's something you folks need to know about me. When we started this fail panel 7 years ago, I was kind of a newlywed, no kids, really enjoying life. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Now, I have 3 kids, ages 5, 3, and 1, one of which takes double coverage due to his ability to climb things and fall off of them. And, you know, after a hard day's work, I just kind of... Just work and the kids and pretty much the end of the day, just all I want is my 44 minutes of solace in front of the television. So my wife and I sit down one night and we watch a show and look, I mean, we don't always make the best decisions in life. And
oh, come on.
It got better. It really did. Look, the first half of the season, fucking horrible, Sky. Ooh, I can hack crypto anything. Ah! And yeah, so there
it did not get better, Rich. I checked. you made this claim earlier this week. I validated, and you're wrong.
I like the end of the season. Just like. So we're sitting there, and it's kind of one of those nights where we're watching Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and the show ends, and I do that one thing you should never do when you watch your last show after eating your shitty microwave dinner on the couch before going to bed, and I check my email. Amazon Web Services, action required. Your Amazon Web Services key is compromised.
Again?
This wasn't a phishing account or a phishing attack. And so some things went through my head, kind of involved that. Come on, Tour de France, you guys? Okay, you gotta watch the video. There's a video of this. Wait. So this guy, the pinnacle of his athletic career, he's in the Tour de France and he gets run over by a car and thrown into a barbed wire fence. And it looked like that. And you know what? He finished the race looking like... Oh, I can't remember that part. So, anyway. You saw it? Yeah, right there. So, anybody thinks that cyclists are pussies? You need to pick a different sport to criticize. Okay, so back to the presentation. And then I said that. And I'm like, oh fuck, my Amazon got hacked. Now, my wife is not only technical, but knows what I do for a living, and she's pretty sure it didn't mean we were gonna have large deliveries of toilet paper over the next couple of days. Actually, we did, but we were the ones who ordered the toilet paper on Amazon, because it's convenient, fuck Costco. And so I run back to my desk and I sign into my account and all of a sudden I go, I'm screwed. I need to fix this now. Now, the embarrassing part about this is I teach cloud security for Black Hat. I developed the cloud security training program for the Cloud Security Alliance and I'm kind of fucked. So I go through my incident response checklist. And I go in, first thing I do is I revoke my access keys, and I lucked out, because this was my root account. And it was a test account, or not a test account, but it's one I use for just, you know, random work for classes and stuff. It's not a production system. But if you don't know anything about Amazon, if somebody gets your root account, then you end up like code spaces, and it doesn't go well for you. So I went into the root account, I revoked the credentials, I started checking the services. Checking services on Amazon to find like where you've been hacked is bad because these are all the services and there's like 9 regions. And you have to click on every screen in every region to figure out exactly what's deployed. Or make some API calls. But I cheated and I went to the billing console because I figure if somebody's hacked me and is using stuff, they can actually go ahead and I'll see that in the billing console and I'll be able to find those charges. So no unexpected charges, but that number was not $34. And I checked for running instances, none of my primary regions. I went to some other regions, and all of a sudden I found out that there were 5 extra large instances in regions I don't use, which is why I hadn't noticed them. US West 1 in Ireland, for those who care, California and Ireland. And I had racked up $500 in charges in about 3 days on my personal account. So that sort of sucked. So I went ahead, I terminated all the instances. At the last minute, I remember to go ahead and actually, by the way, this is, I think, the first time I've ever talked about a fail on the fail panel, which is kind of cool. No, it's not.
No.
Just talking about when I dropped trow. So I actually terminated the instances. I'm like, wait a minute, I want to know what that was. And I hit snapshot just in time, so I managed to save one of those. And I was like, what the fuck happened? I know I published code on GitHub. My credentials were found on GitHub. But I'm not an idiot. I don't embed my credentials in my code. I put it in configuration files, except that one little configuration file called test.rb that had my stuff in it. Because I'm a hacker, and I use a black background with gray text when you comment out code to my text editor, and I just missed it and published my root keys up onto GitHub.
Womp, 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 womp.
Yep.
Oops.
Yeah. We need to learn how to read. Dope. Dope was not what I said. And so I keep running through my incident response process, and I actually go ahead, I take the snapshot. If you don't know, when you snapshot something, you can launch a new instance. You then can connect that particular snapshot as an additional storage volume, and you can start looking at it. It took about 3 seconds to find CUDA miner. Anybody know what CUDA miner is? Bitcoin. In this case, it was Litecoin. So they had launched 5 really big instances in my Amazon account and connected them to a Litecoin mining pool over Tor. And even found the IP addresses. There was like one in China, one in Lithuania, Ukraine. I don't know, one of those Eastern European places. So I had both the APT and the Russians after me. Eastern European hackers. And the timeline, it was actually pretty interesting. I accidentally uploaded my credentials. Within 36 hours, the bad guys found it. And within 72 hours, Amazon actually found those credentials because they scanned GitHub because so many people make this goddamn fucking mistake. That Amazon scans GitHub so they can find all the idiots like me. And to be curious, they do GitHub, I think they do Bitbucket. They now have gone into, we found out, they don't talk about this, the Google Play Store, because so many devs embed their credentials in their Android apps that they load to Google. So they download all these apps from the Google Play Store, they decompile them, look for Amazon credentials, and then notify the owners of those credentials. Yeah, that's not much of a fail, though, but it's pretty fucking cool. Then it took me about 45 minutes for my incident response to run through that entire thing. Because I didn't have billing alerts, I used my root account, I posted my credentials online because, you know, I'm an idiot and human. And then I didn't set restrictive IAM policies. And I did some stuff right. I knew what to do. You know, I got in there right away. I didn't screw around with it. I knew it was a test dev account. It wasn't a production account, so I didn't have multi-factor authentication or anything else on there. And then the best part, I blogged about it. You know what's really cool about having a blog? Then you get things like notices from Amazon customer support saying, hey, we read your blog post. We're reversing the charges. And so I posted it, and then I realized I got a lot of comments. So I just got hit, pushed my keys to GitHub stupidly, ignoring Amazon's mails. I have a $4,000 bill. I got the same hit, $4,162. We got hit too, over $19,000 we racked up during 30 hours until they read their email. Vlad got hit big money, and that was posted after the $19,000 email. So this is actually sort of a real thing. And then some Wall Street Journal reporter kept, like, called me and was like, can you tell me who all your commenters are so I can contact them and do a story on this? My response was, leave a blog comment, see if they'll answer. And so there's a lot of those out there. So it's kind of cool. They're scanning GitHub, the Google Play Store, Bitbucket. They're decompiling apps. So Amazon's doing stuff to protect their users. And then a whole other presentation piece they didn't want to know about. So, you know, I realized I needed to have a better incident response process through all of this stuff. And to part of that, I built a tool. It's just a little proof of concept thing. I call it Security Squirrel. Oops, I need to get an instance ID. Let me see if I have one in my memory. Yep, I do. Okay. And so what this tool does is if you have a compromised instance, it'll actually just kind of do all the forensics and stuff for you. So who's actually had to do forensic or incident response on a single compromised server? Somebody shout out, how long does it take normally? Hours? Anybody else? Days? Hours? Days? Okay, let's see how long this takes. And I'm tethered over my iPad, so I'll see how this network stuff goes. But it's not a vibrator, so it will likely work. All right, so there's an instance ID I pulled earlier. And let's see how long this takes. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, it's done. So what I just did is too fast. So I took I took all the metadata for that instance, who launched it, what time they launched it, what operating system it was, AMI it was based on, all the details Amazon has on that instance, save it down to a local text file. Then I move that instance to a quarantined security group, cuts off all inbound and outbound network access. Then I tag that instance with a tag, which based on the way my Amazon is set up, my IAM policies, no administrators can see that instance anymore. The only people who can see that in Amazon are the security team. Completely cut off from the network, from the world, completely cut off from the Amazon management console because nobody can get in there. It actually disappears from their AWS screen. Then I enumerated all the storage volumes attached to that, all the hard drives attached to that, took snapshots of all of those, launched a forensic analysis server based on another image, and then attached those snapshots as external storage volumes so I can do my forensic analysis on them. And it took like, I don't know what, 8 seconds? No, 3, 4, 5 seconds? Something along those lines. So in the end, I learned my lesson. The best part about all of this was a different cloud provider read my blog posts and hired me to come to their research and developer conference to present this material and to talk with their teams about how to protect their customers. And I got kind of, let's just say, thousands of dollars to do that, because it's kind of what I do. So I have a new business model. Fuck up. Blog about it. Profit. So if there are any investors in the audience, I will be listing myself on the exchange soon. So,
you know, you really take fail fast to a whole new extreme.
Fail fast, fail often. All right, so I have another minor request. So look, we've been doing this fail panel for 7 years. This is the seventh year.
The seventh year. Hours 13 and 14 of fail for profit. I mean, not for profit.
It's quite likely the last one. We don't know for sure. We've been talking it over. Now, never say never, so I'm not going to say never. My five-year-old daughter has this weird obsession that, like, she thinks it's important to be famous, and she asked me if I was famous. And I'm like, well, I'm internet famous, but not in the bad way.
Did
no
you
porn.
Say anus?
Yeah, so I was going to try and FaceTime her in, but she's actually at a school thing right now. Turn your face if you don't want to be on camera. If everybody could say in the audience, I'm going to do a little video, say, hi, Riley. Hi, Aaron. Those are my daughter's names. I got a son, too, but he's too young to give a fuck. So, and he hits his head a lot, so he may not make it. All right. They're really confused why I'm away from the house a lot. Everybody ready? Go.
Hi, Riley. Hi, Aaron.
Oh.
Oh.
There's always one dick in the house.
If only I knew how to edit a video on my Jesus phone. Thank you, everyone. And it's been great doing this all these years. We might be back, but we've done everything from robots to Wi-Fi hacking, you name it. And on that note, let me load this up. We're going to go to Rob Graham.
Okay, so we have about 40 minutes left. We have three speakers, and currently the donuts brought in, I kid you not, $380 for the EFF. Thank you. Feel free to continue donating even though the donuts are gone. The bids on the Uber waffle are up to $100, and the Vegas waffle is $69, because there's some smart ass.
Yes.
But we like you anyway.
So I'm just sitting here trying to figure out how to explain to my daughters what I do for a living.
Donut boxes.
You have donut boxes.
We have donut boxes you could pick up. We will autograph the empty donut box if you pay for it.
Are there any donuts left?
That's between you and your friends.
Yeah, we're long out of donuts.
Are there any donuts left?
It's the white screen of death.
So I'm inspired by Rich here. I have two nieces, which I'm going to see in 2 days. They live in Japan, so I never really get to see them that often. And their impression of Uncle Rob is like this clown who arrives every about once or twice a year they get to play with. So their names are Maya and Mari. So if you could do the same thing that you did for Rich and say, hi, Maya, hi, Mari, that would be awesome.
We can totally do that.
So go.
Hi, Maya. Hi, Mari.
That's
so
awesome.
Now you don't do it. Fuck you.
Wait.
And if we have a kid, fuck yeah.
Wait a minute. You're all doing what you're told? That's awesome. Let's try this. Okay. Everybody?
Empty your wallets.
Yeah, empty your wallets.
No. Everybody? Bid on the fucking waffles already.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd cover something that's actually pretty lame. And that is how the news people report about cybersecurity. After the Heartbleed virus spread throughout the internet.
I love viruses.
I thought maybe we actually need to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. There's actually a problem with the way you guys report upon the news. Yes. And I thought that by now, with the kids like graduating from college who grew up with the iPad, that we would have solved this problem. But the iPad actually is horrible for this, because kids learn how to use the iPad, but actually have no idea how technology works. So I have a friend who is a kindergarten teacher, and for the poor kids, it's fine, but for the middle class kids that come into a kindergarten class and can't hold a crayon because they're using iPads all the time, they can do pinch and zoom to no end, but they can't hold a crayon. And so they need remedial teaching on how to actually draw something. And so I think that's where actually news is going, is that route. There was a story about the outed Satoshi Nakamoto, the inventor of Bitcoin. And as it turns out, that story was based upon nothing concrete. And I was looking at the story, and I realized that all the things that the reporter quoted as things that prove that this guy was the Satoshi Nakamoto who invented Bitcoin, who's worth probably $1 billion, half of them applied to me. And I'm like down on the list of like the 10,000th most likely person to be Satoshi Nakamoto. And so I was going through the list of looking at my fellow fail panelists and thinking,
sorry, you weren't paying attention.
And thinking, like,
everyone was enraptured by this shirt.
That,
lower.
Once you decided someone is Satoshi Nakamoto, all these weird things about their life suddenly, like, all make sense. Proving that they're Satoshi Nakamoto. Like, I was just mentioning my Japanese nieces that I get to see only a couple times a year. That obviously means that I've got this weird connection that none of the rest of you people in this entire room have that's unique to me. Obviously, that proves that I'm Satoshi Nakamoto because I've got this weird association with Japan that would lead me to use that as my handle. Dave Maynard's, one of his grandparents, is Japanese. So maybe that's proving that he is Satoshi Nakamoto. I was talking earlier in the speaker room with my Kirill's wife, who claimed that his penis is made in Japan, and she would know. So obviously he's got this weird tie to Japan that none of the rest of us have. Maybe he is Satoshi Nakamoto.
Well, hang on a second, though. Mine's not remotely accessible.
Rich Mogul, apparently half of his degree in history, apparently he's got a degree in history for who knows why.
Well, it's obviously not computer science.
It's obviously not computer science. And he once wrote and I have to read this from the slides because I can't, you know, it's meaningless. He wrote a deconstruction of the modern warrior ethos based on historical textual changes in Japanese literature. So who else has written a deconstruction like this? So none of you even know what this phrase means. So obviously, Rich Mogul is Satoshi Nakamoto. Hoff, who couldn't be here with us because he picked a fight with a UFC fighter last night, apparently.
He got drunk and passed out bed at an awkward angle.
Or that. My story's better. He does jujitsu and martial arts, so he's got this weird tie that none of the rest of us have. Wendy apparently is a connoisseur of tentacle erotica.
And really, who isn't?
So maybe she is Satoshi Nakamoto. So my point is the way these news stories are constructed.
Took you that long to parse that?
It was the comments.
They pick their conclusion first and then go hunting for evidence to support it.
This is almost as good as for
yeah. So there was the Olympics in Russia this year, in Sochi, Russia.
Oh my God.
NBC did a story where it starts out with, I don't know, a good-looking guy saying stuff on TV, and we all trust him because he's avuncular and stuff. And he said if they fire up their phones at baggage claim, it's probably too late because the Russian hackers have already hacked you. So I looked into that. So I took my little ninja phone that I got 2 years ago for the ninja party.
It's off.
And I installed this app called Fake GPS that set my location in Russia. And so I tried to replicate what the story reported. So I set my GPS location into Russia. I then installed a VPN so that I was VPNing through Russia. So any of my internet activity was always going through Russia. So if there's some evil hackers monitoring Russian networks, they'd be intercepting my traffic. I then did what they talked about, which was to search the internet and install stuff. And so I had to go through all my security settings and set things like allow installation of market apps, which means I can go to any other website on the internet and install an Android app. And by the way, it gives me lots of warnings saying this is really a bad idea. Do you really want to do this? And I said, yes. Now, I had this problem is the news story was really about searching for Sochi Olympics and how some websites might give you an Android app. And I couldn't find any Android apps. So I actually had to look for things like update.apk looking for a hostile Android app and then install it on my cell phone. And then actually, there's a lot of effort you have to go through to install an Android app. You actually have to hunt things down and go through menu options and like, okay, here's the APK I want to install.
Getting excited just sitting here.
So maybe the reporter didn't have to go through all this struggle here. And it gave me warning after warning saying things like installing this app may harm your device. Do you really want to install this application that's going to make like phone calls on your behalf and go through all your contacts? And what the story was on the NBC's program was, and here's how they lead to it, is malicious software hijacked our phone before I even started my coffee, after he'd gone through all of those steps. So when I saw the story, I thought, Russian hackers could be like having an open BTS with a cell phone baseband intercepting the internet traffic and doing stuff with that. Maybe that's how they hack you. No, it was going through all of these steps, one after the other, configuring his phone, saying, yes, I want to install this malware on my phone. And after all those steps, yeah, before my coffee even arrived, I was hacked.
This is the part where Rich's pants come off, by the way.
pants.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah!
We need people have to bid for this. I want donations. Come on, money, cash.
We need more donations. Yeah, he only drops
do I
for
see
cash.
20 bucks. Come on, 20 bucks. Come on. 20 bucks. 20 bucks. 20 bucks. 20 bucks. Okay, I see 20 bucks.
Out all fucking here.
Come on.
I want to
see
$30.
Come on, $30.
Come on.
Here comes some money.
It's for the EFF.
We have
bring
a message.
Some more cash.
We have a message here from Mr. Rothman. So, Rich, you understand that we're a professional company.
20 more, Rich's pants drop. Come on,
and,
come on. It's coming. It's coming faster.
We can't have you take your pants off all the time, Rich. It's not acceptable.
That's a good impersonation. That's a good impersonation of Rothman.
Oh, dude.
I'm a little girl from Atlanta. 100
bucks. 120. 120. 140. Woo!
Oh!
7 years in a row.
I will pay $100 to anyone who tweets that picture.
We have now all of DEF CON knows I'm a natural redhead.
Hey, Rich.
We have, in fact, seen the Travelocity gnome.
Just in the backseat.
So there was all this, of course, outcry against NBC and Newsweek about their stories, but they came back and said, no, we've investigated these things, and these are the highest levels of journalistic excellence. Like the Newsweek story was, we've been doing this for 50 years, it's the highest level of excellence. NBC said something much the same. Well, this journalism of excellence and blah, 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 but they just make it all up. So there was a story by Jacob Applebaum at CCO3 last year during Christmas, where he talks about the ant catalog from the NSA of all the various evil devices the NSA has, and one of them listens in on people with a continuous wave device. They send out wave and they get back the response, and from that they can extract the audio. And he went off on this whole thing about, oh, it causes cancer because it's like at one kilowatt. And, for example, Hugo Chavez died due to cancer. Maybe that was caused by an evil NSA device. And so that was picked up in the news, and they all reported upon this, saying, hey, yeah, Hugo Chavez may have been killed by the NSA via 1 kilowatt continuous wave generators. And so I talked to him on Twitter saying, you know, that's actually kind of meaningless because it's only in the 1 to 2 kilohertz, gigahertz region, which doesn't cause cancer. Yeah, it might burn you because it's at 1 kilowatt, but it's not going to cause cancer. And so I asked him, like, you know, why don't you actually talk to people like at DEF CON? Because for everything in the ant catalog,
hey, Rob, is your presentation causing cancer right now?
So for everything in the ant catalog, for every evil thing the NSA does, there's an expert here at DEF CON who's presented on it, or can present on it. And so for his response was typical, like, blah, 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 blah. I must have missed it. No one's actually presented on this local thing. And that was actually kind of cool, because last year at DEF CON, they had this short story contest. And so I'd written a short story where that was actually the plot device. So I actually hadn't presented on it, but I'd written a short story about a guy who presented on it, and all works, and it's all pretty cool. And so this year at DEF CON, Michael Altman, who is really...
Wait, doesn't this just prove then that you work for the NSA?
Yes, I work for the NSA.
You heard it here first, folks.
Like, I get all these claims I'm an NSA lover, but, you know, I hack the NSA. So Michael Altman is doing, and he's the expert. I'm not the expert, but he's the expert on such things. He's, you know, presenting actually on using what you see in the picture here is a Hasbro for the little race car things, the little cars you send around on tracks and stuff. They use a radar gun to measure the speed, and it's actually the same sort of radar gun you get that police use to catch you on the road. And it's great because it produces a constant wave radar signal that then his SRP then, his hack RF1 then, can be used to then pull back stuff and pull back audio and stuff. And so that's an example of, for everything that the NSA does, instead of like quoting some like activist out there who may know some things about cybersecurity, there's actually 1,000 people here who have probably demoed that at DEF CON.
What? Look at my people.
So the worst example of this is Bruce Schneier. And he's a smart guy. He's really creative. He has really insightful things to say. And he knows a lot about cryptography. But the press treats him as like this holy prophet of cybersecurity.
It's like gorilla feet.
He will, like, you know, just write on his blog post, like, I wonder what I'm having for lunch today. And then the stories come out quoting him saying, like, Bruce Schneier, expert in cybersecurity, confirms the NSA kills puppies. And it's just the most bizarre thing. It's because, and I've talked to the press people about why they do this, and they say, well, it's because our editor is, that's the only guy he's heard of, and they want us to quote him. So no matter what he says, it will be quoted in a paper, and it will be extended in it and pulled apart to support whatever weird thing they're claiming. So, for example, there's this congressman who took that quote and said, Bruce Schneier has noted, confirmed, that Keith Alexander was selling secrets. But again, what he said is like, well, I don't know. Maybe that's a possibility. He didn't say he confirmed. He just said, well, I don't know. So there's another good quote about how, again, this is, yeah, Bruce Schneier on top of Bruce Lee here, that on the Heartbleed bug, is my guess it was an accident. That the NSA wasn't, his guess is that the NSA wasn't involved. And that becomes, oops.
Oh, premature.
Well, that becomes a confirmation that experts have wondered.
I'm going to let you continue away. In a minute.
Swallow.
Why are you so bad at computers?
Okay. Okay, gang. I've just been given the 10-minute warning. The Uber waffle is up to $150. Are you going to take that, McGrath? Are you going to take that? Uh-oh. $150.75 for the Vegas waffle.
Here, I'll do this. Whip it out. $100. Keep it.
Woo! Thank you.
$100.
$100 and keep it?
Very nice.
Thank you. The EFF thanks you.
So if I knew how to use PowerPoint, you would see the quote here, which is, experts wonder whether this vulnerability resulted from the NSA, deliberately inserted by the NSA. So it shows how every just, he could say anything, like, you know, this morning I got up and took a dump. And then suddenly that becomes something quoted in the news. So that's my fail talk.
Okay, excellent.
Dave needs a dongle. Dave needs a dongle.
Make sure you put the dongle where it belongs. Oh, I know where to put the dongle. I put the dongle lots of places. I do. I put a dongle in a slot.
Keep digging, Dave.
I put a dongle
Keep
in a slot
digging.
More than once.
The one person confused. Never mind. I'm not going there.
Too late.
I'm only slightly offended.
I never use protection. Oh, wait, I always use protection. I can't remember which one I do. Is protection where I have a roll of nickels in my pocket?
Do you know where that dongle's been?
Oh, yes.
It's my dongle.
I'm into that.
Hey, did you insert it the right way?
I said it upside down, and apparently it still worked.
Three times.
So we can't fail again. 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 Because we keep failing. So for the last 2 years, I've been playing with Justin on Hansen. And after a joke turned into Hansen actually releasing a new album, I really realized, I mean, I came to realize that this is not a joke. We shouldn't play around with forces beyond our control. Hansen might release a second album. I can't be responsible for that. I get enough people who hate me over the original album. So Rob and I came up with something different. We scanned the entire internet, and we scanned the internet a bunch. Rob wrote a high-speed tool that's called MassScan. You should take a look at it. If you've ever wanted to scan the internet yourself, do it from DEF CON. Do it right now. Scan the internet. I can only wish you well on your journey. So if nothing shows how badly broken defenders are, oh dear, I have... Oh, great. Hold on a second. I'm getting a call. It's from Madam O. So nothing shows how badly defenders really are as scannings. Oh, you know what? It just keeps going. It's got stamina. Oh, wow. So nothing shows how badly, like, the security practice in general is broken as people scanning 0.0.0.0/0. Now, if you've ever used Nmap and you've dreamed about scanning the internet, it's so liberating to actually type in that address. So in a year, we got 1,045 complaints for scanning the internet, but the majority of those were particularly from scanning Heartbleed. So the average response time for somebody between us scanning them and somebody complaining about it is 24 hours. So
what we do, by the way, is you set up swipe, which is this technique to...
Dude, that's way too much like technical detail. That's way too much information for the fail panel.
I'm going to do it anyway because it's important.
We're getting to something great.
But we get all the abuse complaints back. So we see all the emails of people saying, stop scanning us.
So... The point, you know, no, I'm keeping it. No. So the point of this is that we started getting emails like this. Obviously, some people in the audience would send us an email like this. They'd want us to fuck off and die.
Dave, it's for your butt.
It's got a hook.
right? My favorite one is the facility in Korea who CC'd an email to the abuse address for basically everybody in their security organization. So we were actually able to get an entire list of targets to fish just from them reporting about. And you may ask yourself, what type of egregious activity would cause you to send an email and copy everybody in your security organization? The complaint was HTTP version. So they actually outed themselves over somebody doing an HTTP version request on their web server. How do you secure an organization like that? It's just not possible. Even Rich Mungle couldn't make money off that business model. So my favorite thing, though, are MSSPs. If you work for an MSSP, I'm sorry. We've been collecting all the emails that your vendors have been sent, your clients have been sending for a year. We have emails that look like this. I had to remove the company's name for privacy. But they send us the same thing. The company, the MSSP's company name, they abbreviated to 3 characters and they put it in the username. And then the source address for the email is the actual company name. So for instance, if we had a company called thefellpanel.com, and let's just say you were using some MSSP named David MSSP, it would be dm@thefellpanel.com. So when we asked them what blocks they'd like us to exclude from the scanning, they said, oh, we can't tell you what our clients are. I'm like, but these 400 clients have all sent us emails with your name in it, so this is your client list. We've gotten to the point now where we'll send congratulatory emails to their sales team when they sign up a new client. That's how well we know their client list. So, and on that note, ladies and gentlemen, please don't do that. Thank you.
So while they're setting up, I want to add one addendum to that. We get a lot of messages saying, please stop scandaling us, who won't tell us who they are, what their IP address is. And it's pretty funny because they don't get the fact that we don't know who they are, is that we're scanning the entire internet. We don't know who you are. So there's this company, so I'm on a podcast, and I launched a scan the night before.
You know that we're done, right?
And it.
Okay.
Not the bug. We're getting DOSed here.
We've been cut off. I want to thank everyone for coming. You all donated $685 in cash for donuts and Rich to drop his pants. I'd like to congratulate Rue for winning the Vegas waffle. And Introspect, whoever you are, please come up. You got the Uber waffle. Bring your cash up for a total of $910 in donations to the EFF.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all.
For making the Bill panel yet another success.
Wait. And the last thing is, being the end, we have patches for our speakers. So I'd like to call everybody up. So who's closest? Mr. David Mortman.
Thank you.
Mr. Rob Graham, official Fail Panel DEF CON speaker patch. Okay, just speaker patch. Larry Pesch.
Thank you, sir.
James Arlen. Wendy Nather, get over here. David Mortman.